The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on KHUHLP 104.9 FM Seattle, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on KHUHLP 104.9 FM, Seattle, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
There is no spying on Americans.
Are you crazy?
Oh.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Somebody help me!
Shut up!
Damage control is easy. Reading Klingon, that's hard.
Welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 20th, 2018. Here at the Thunderbolt, we temper our outrage with insanity. And then we leaven it with fart jokes.
Coming up next, Philip farts on Terrence and laughs.
Oh, cool.
Listen with care. So a while back, the Chinese government proved that the United States does not have a monopoly upon paranoid idiots. But you see, a while back, the Chinese authorities scrubbed all references on their internet to that dangerous, subversive Winnie the Pooh. Huh. And since it is getting harder and harder to differentiate between my jokes and actual reality these days, then I can assure you this is indeed an actual story. Chinese officials have actually banned Winnie the Pooh from the Chinese internet. However, I am most happy to be able to provide at least a modicum of comfort to any outraged Pooh lovers that may be out there by revealing that Winnie is sharing his banishment whilst in very good company. Yes, kids, hard as it is to believe, Chinese childhood is also being spared from the subversive influence of such notorious troublemakers as Peppa Pig and James the Giant Peach. James the Giant Peach was also banned in a Wisconsin town because the character Spider was considered by the school board there
to be too sexual. Spider did show a lot of leg after all. And the nefarious James was also banned in Indian River County, Florida, for engaging in occult practices due to the fact that at one point, James utilizes mysticism by engaging the magical properties of crocodile tongues to bring himself happiness and great adventures. So you see, first they came for the poos, and the giant peaches did not say anything because they were not poos. As of yet, I have been unable to determine the fate of those infamous Teletubbies or of that highly suspicious Big Bird. But I would suggest that Oscar the Grouch had best watch his back as well.
And speaking of children's stories,
I once wrote a song called The Mother Goose Blues that was basically a comedic take on childhood and the pitfalls thereof. I listed many childish objections suitable for lamentation, and I interjected these lamentations with various stories from various Mother Goose tales. And I had never before realized just how gory, violent, and ruthless those stories are until I started systematically going through them for the purposes of incorporating them into the Mother Goose Blues. Yes, kids, between assaults by arachnids upon innocent little girls who are innocently eating their curds and whey, to Mary Mary's infamous contrariness, to Jack Horner sticking his nasty little thumb into everyone else's pies, and yes, even big bad wolves, such as Georgie Borgie, who like to kiss all the little girls and make them all cry. We have Jack and Jill tumbling down hills, and we have Jumping Jack Flash sitting on candlesticks. And who can ever forget Humpty Dumpty's infamous fall or his tragic failure to ever recover from said fall? Yes, Mother Goose is quite the nasty and morbid little world. At this point, though, that old debate about art imitating life comes into play. Well, you see, during the height of the plague in 14th century England, so many people were dying that bodies were simply placed into a pile in a city square and then set afire. The ashes from these fires would then fall upon everyone else all over the city, and everyone else knew what those ashes were, and in many cases, they knew who those ashes were. Now, it was a common myth at that time that breathing through flowers would help protect against the plague. And so everyone in London at the time could be found walking around
with their pockets stuffed full of flowers. So often the first visible sign that someone was infected with the plague came when they developed sores that were called rosies. And these rosies were very identifiable because they were often surrounded by a very distinctive ring. And from those happenstances, we got this. Meanwhile, in international affairs, China has managed to come up with what I find to be the scariest method of social control that I think I have yet heard of. As usual, they have also come up with an innocent and innocuous sounding name for policies that actually represent Big Brother on steroids. Yes, kids, the Chinese call their new tools of full spectrum dominance and submission the social credit score. The Chinese government is going to start assigning all of their citizens with social credit scores that will be based upon a variety of criteria meant to determine how loyal a citizen they are. And the quality of their life is going to be largely determined by this score. If you do your job and don't make any waves, then you will very likely have no problem. But if you file complaints or start protesting things, then you are likely to find your credit, both financial and social, drying up. Jobs will suddenly be very hard to find. Your ability to travel will be severely restricted. And you will very likely discover that a government microscope has been surgically implanted into your anus. Most excellent Netflix series, Black Mirror, evidently foresaw this, and they produced a most excellent piece upon this very subject. It is the first program for season 3, and it is called Nose Dive. I actually highly recommend the entire Black Mirror series. Their program represents social critique taken to an art form. But then there are other technological twisty-turnies that even Black Mirror could not have foreseen. Now, you may or may not know that the editors who published the WikiLeaks material carefully edited it to make sure that no vital military secrets were exposed. And indeed, the machine was never able to prove that the WikiLeaks materials revealed any such secrets, nor did their release lead to any serious national security breaches.
what WikiLeaks did expose was crime, fraud, and abuse, which are pretty much the textbook examples of the kinds of things that soldiers and government officials of any kind are required by law to expose. And then, they are supposed to enjoy special legal protections from retribution when they do expose them. However, that is just the law. The American government quit paying attention to the law, as it applies to them anyway, a long time ago. Anyway, while WikiLeaks did not expose any vital American secrets, the Strava Running and Cycling app, available now for download from your favorite app store, has managed to expose most of the United States' most secret military bases everywhere on the entire planet. Now, those of us unfamiliar with the world of jogging have likely never heard of Strava. I know I never had. But according to Strava's website, Strava is the social network for athletes. We are a global community of millions of runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Now, I could not find out exactly how many millions, but evidently, Strava is a very popular app. Now, users of the Strava app do their jogging and cycling whilst wearing fitness trackers. And these fitness trackers do indeed track numerous aspects of their jogging and cycling experience, including their routes. And recently, Strava published a heat map that showed all of the jogging and cycling routes that were popular with their users. And it turns out that members of the United States military are heavily represented amongst the millions of users of the Strava app. And thus, it did not take long for people to find out where most of America's most secret military bases were all over the world, based upon the soldiers' jogging routes that were now emblazoned all over Strava's online heat map, just as if they had been traced with a frigging highlighter pen. I believe that serves those paranoid a-holes over at the Pentagon right. And meanwhile, in international affairs, China has managed to come up with what I find to be the scariest method of social control that I think I have yet heard of. As usual, they have also come up with an innocent and innocuous sounding name for policy that actually represent Big Brother on steroids. Yes, kids, the Chinese call their new tool of full spectrum dominance and submission the social credit score. The Chinese government is going to start assigning all of their citizens with social credit scores that will be based upon a variety of criteria meant to determine how loyal a citizen they are. And the quality of their life is going to be largely determined by this score. If you do your job and don't make any waves, then you will very likely have no problem. But if you file complaints or start protesting things, then you are likely to find your credit, both financial and social, drying up. Jobs will suddenly be very hard to find. Your ability to travel will be severely restricted, and you will very likely discover that a government microscope has been surgically implanted into your anus. The most excellent Netflix series, Black Mirror, evidently foresaw this, and they produced a most excellent piece upon this very subject. It is the first program for season 3, and it is called Nosedive. I actually highly recommend the entire Black Mirror series. Their program represents social critique taken to an art form. But then there are other technological twisty-turnies that even Black Mirror could not have foreseen. Now, you may or may not know that the editors who published the WikiLeaks material carefully edited it to make sure that no vital military secrets were exposed. And indeed, the machine was never able to prove that the WikiLeaks materials revealed any such secrets, nor did their release lead to any serious national security breaches. What WikiLeaks did expose was crime, fraud, and abuse, which are pretty much the textbook examples of the kinds of things that soldiers and government officials of any kind are required by law to expose. And then they are supposed to enjoy special legal protections from retribution when they do expose them. However, that is just the law. The American government quit paying attention to the law, as it applies to them anyway, a long time ago. Anyway, while WikiLeaks did not expose any vital American secrets, the Strava Running and Cycling app, available now for download from your favorite app store, has managed to expose most of the United States' most secret military bases everywhere on the entire planet. Now, those of us unfamiliar with the world of jogging have likely never heard of Strava. I know I never had. But according to Strava's website, Strava is the social network for athletes. We are a global community of millions of runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Now, I could not find out exactly how many millions, but evidently, Strava is a very popular app. Now, users of the Strava app do their jogging and cycling whilst wearing fitness trackers. And these fitness trackers do indeed track numerous aspects of their jogging and cycling experience, including their routes. And recently, Strava published a heat map that showed all of the jogging and cycling routes that were popular with their users. And it turns out that members of the United States military are heavily represented amongst the millions of users of the Strava app. And thus, it did not take long for people to find out where most of America's most secret military bases were all over the world, based upon the soldiers' jogging routes that were now emblazoned all over Strava's online heat map, just as if they had been traced with a frigging highlighter pen. I believe that serves those paranoid a-holes over at the Pentagon. Right. It's time to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Stated goal of the American intervention into Syria was to defeat ISIS. What that means is that defeating ISIS may or may not have actually been one of their strategic goals.
Life's never been easy. Not today, or any other. Times just keep on getting harder, sadder, and tougher.
But it is 99% guaranteed that they did have a lot of other, much darker strategic goals in mind as well. Most of which probably involved lots of guns and numerous bales of $100 bills.
So you've got a problem, a dirty job to do. Just look no further, I'm just the man for you.
Well, ISIS has been defeated. Yet the fighting rages on.
Way down south, by the river, is where you find him and the goods he'll deliver. No one knows where he's from or how long he's been a hired gun. You better heed my friendly warning, or you could be dead before the morning. You don't play unless you pay, so be ready to hear him say, give me more money, don't play no games. Give me more money, I'll throw you in the flame. Give me more money, don't tell me lies. Give me more money, or you will die.
And that's not all. the Pentagon has just announced that they are going to start stationing troops in Syria on a permanent basis.
You better run, you better hide. The bounty hunter is out tonight. There's a price.
This is an outrageous and exceedingly blatant violation of international law. But one of the many advantages bestowed upon the United States for being so exceptional is that we don't need to worry about laws. This immunity to law also more or less applies on only a slightly less extent to the European elites. And it for sure applies to Israel. Only dark-skinned people need worry on that front. And as for the Syrian people, they do have choices. Do they want plague? Or do they want cholera? Sophie, in fact, had a relatively easy choice compared to many that are currently being made by Syrian mothers. Within Syria these days, there are maybe 10 or 17 factions, most of whom are foreign, that are all fighting each other in various ever-shifting alliances. And virtually all of these forces are the bad guys. And all of them, except for some of the Kurdish factions, are a bunch of psychopathic child killers. And all of them, except some of the Kurdish factions, are mass murdering civilians for tactical or perhaps even strategic reasons. The only good guys in this fight are some, but not all, of the Kurdish factions and the Syrian civilians. And the Syrian civilians are the only faction on the ground right now that has absolutely no say whatsoever in what is happening to their own country. And in spite of what the American propaganda machine tells you, Bashar al-Assad actually remains quite popular amongst his own people. And this is in spite of the fact that Bashar al-Assad is himself one of the leading murderers of the Syrian people. Evidently, Assad still seems a better choice to the Syrian people than any of the other available options, in spite of that fact. Would you like plague? Or would you prefer cholera? Since tens of thousands of Syrian civilians have been killed, and since over 6 million of them have been displaced from their homes, and since 4 million of those displaced are now living in foreign refugee camps, and since in many of those cases they are being treated like criminals, then I am thinking that the people of Syria are probably not very well pleased with current events. Especially since the central cause of their woes, i.e. the United States of America, has just shut its own doors right into their desperate faces, adding even further shocking insult to already outrageous injury. George W. Bush had to ask, why do they hate us? Ironically, while most Americans are completely ignorant of our own government's culpability in this state of affairs, the Syrian people know full well who has brought this catastrophe down upon their heads. I would be expecting some pretty serious blowback. This is the crime of capitalism. The only people who really should matter are the only people who don't matter.
And on that note, that is it for the news and commentary section this week. And for the next note, Seattle listeners are going to hear some music. So as you can probably tell, I tend to speak a wide variety of musical languages. But to be honest, my native tongue, so to speak, is rock and roll. And a lot of people don't realize it, but rock and roll actually had a daddy. And rock's daddy was a beaten, scarred old black man who carried a beat-up old guitar down in Mississippi or up in Chicago back in the 20s and the 30s. And rock and roll's daddy had a name, and that name was the blues. This is Johnny Winter.
We'll slow things down, get a little funky, and do some blues for you right now.
Thank you.
treat me the way you wanna do. My fault, baby. Treat me the way. That they love me, you change their mind. What's up with that they love me, you change their mind. I'll send you back to your mother. You had no you used to make a long pants that woman feel a long home to me. Away, I do. Y'all know I didn't want to you.
Robert Johnson with Red Dress On. Before that, we had Johnny Winter and, part of that and including Rick Derringer playing backup lead, playing It's My Own Fault. And now that I got you all blue, it's time to go. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.